Hi again, and welcome to Emran's Podcast, episode 85. It's Friday, April 18th, 2008. My name is Arthur, and I'm a gay American now living in New Zealand. Welcome to my podcast. On today's episode, I'm going to tell you that a major appliance manufacturer has decided to export jobs to Asia. The underwear boy may be going to France. Did cavemen say, g'day mate? And, of course, there are a few other bits and pieces coming up, including an iTunes reality check. And then towards the end, of course, I'll have my usual comments and various other things like that. But first up, there is a major New Zealand appliance manufacturer called Fisher & Paykel. And their products are sold actually all over the place, but in New Zealand and Australia and in the U.S. And they tend to be positioned as sort of a premium brand. They have some really innovative appliances. They have a dish drawer system for a dishwasher. And in the U.S., I think it's often sold under the Whirlpool brand, but it's actually Fisher & Paykel. And they also have developed a top-loading front loader, which means basically that the drum is sideways, as in a front loader, which is more efficient for water, but they figured out a way that you could load it from the top, which is obviously easier to do than bending down to load the washing machine. It also, theoretically, the capacity is higher, too. But anyway, they have a factory in Dunedin in the South Island, which employs 430 people to make dishwashers, and they've decided to export those jobs to Asia. Similarly, they've decided to close down a Brisbane factory, which I think makes refrigerators, if I remember correctly, and they're going to export those jobs to Asia. And they're closing a factory in California that makes stoves and cooktops and things, and export those jobs to Mexico, because they're buying a Whirlpool factory that's in Mexico and converting it to their production. Now, this is nothing new. This sort of thing happens all over the world and companies all over the place. But Fisher & Paykel is kind of an iconic brand in New Zealand. It was Kiwi to its core, you could say. And the fact that now they're exporting all these jobs, after they exported about 450 last year, and they've only got, I think, about 300-odd jobs left in all of New Zealand, it means that it's really not so much of a New Zealand company anymore. Now, because they've positioned themselves as sort of a premium brand, they've always been expensive, especially relative to cheaper Asian imports, as most of the whiteware that we get is now made in Asia, India and China in particular. Nevertheless, there was a bit of loyalty to them because they were a New Zealand company. And there are a lot of people now who are saying that, well, since they're moving all the jobs out overseas and they're going to be shipping the products, the finished products back here for sale, why should we bother buying them? Why shouldn't we buy the cheaper Asian ones? Because what's the difference? And, you know, I have to say, I can't see what the difference is either. So that's been in the news this week. But there was big news this week as well. A member of the New Zealand All Blacks, and of course the All Blacks are a national rugby team, named Dan Carter, is being offered what is said to be the highest European contract ever offered to a New Zealand football player. Actually, it could actually be the highest ever offered to a rugby player, I'm not sure. But he's reportedly been offered £750,000, which is nearly 1.9 million New Zealand dollars, to play for Toulouse in France. Now, whether he goes or not, I don't know. I suspect he will. New Zealand has a policy that any rugby player who goes and plays, who's not based in New Zealand, can't be selected for the All Blacks. And this is a big deal because, I mean, being an All Black used to be every boy's dream. I don't know why, but anyway. But there is a theory that he could go and play for a season and a half in Europe and then come back for the 2011 World Cup, which is here in New Zealand, actually. So I don't know if that's going to happen. But the thing about Dan Carter is that he is gorgeous. And if you've ever been over to the site for Tim at Terminally Single, he actually had some shots of Dan Carter in his underwear because he is a model for jockey underwear in New Zealand. I'm not sure what other countries he's done that in. I think in Europe as well. And he's very nice. I think it was Christchurch as well as Auckland, they put up some billboards of him that were about 5 or 6 stories tall of him just standing there in his underwear. And it was a bit distracting to traffic, I would say. But this is very big news for New Zealand. But if you want to see a beautiful rugby player, then look for Dan Carter. A bit boyish, perhaps, but still a very nice body. Now, the main thing I wanted to tell you about is one of those stories where, you know, there are days when I think to myself, what am I going to talk about on the podcast? I just don't know what to talk about. Well, this was one of those stories where I saw it and I immediately said, yep, I got to talk about that one. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and read the story to you. It's from Reuters. This is by way of the New Zealand Herald, but a similar one was also on Stuff. And it refers to an article in New Scientist.com. And I'll put a link to that in the show notes because that's the longer version of it, and that has all the details. And rather than just the highlights, you can read the whole thing for yourself. So here's the story. It says, Neanderthals, who, as you may recall, were early humans in Europe about, 40-odd thousand years ago to 40, between 40 and 20-odd thousand years ago. But they were, one way or another, they were supplanted by modern humans. There's some controversy as to exactly how that happened. But anyway, here's the story. Neanderthals have spoken out for the first time in 30,000 years with the help of scientists who have simulated their voices using fossil evidence and a computer synthesizer, and they may have sounded a bit like New Zealanders. Robert McCarthy, an anthropologist at Florida Atlantic University in Boca Raton, used new constructions of Neanderthal vocal tracts to work out how they would have sounded, NewScientist.com reported. The conclusion is that Neanderthals spoke, but sounded rather different to us. Specifically, the ancient humans lacked the quantal vowel sounds that underlie modern speech and which provide cues that help speakers understand one another. By modeling the sounds that a Neanderthal larynx would have made, McCarthy's team engineered a sound of a Neanderthal saying E. In contrast to a modern human E, the Neanderthal version lacked a quantal hallmark, which helps a listener distinguish between beat, to distinguish the word beat from bit, for instance. Now, the reason they're saying that it sounds a bit like New Zealanders is because it's often very difficult to tell the difference between beat and bit when New Zealanders say it as well. They're very similar. And it's actually something that takes a bit of getting used to when you come to New Zealand to be able to tell some of those slight vowel differences. I mean, it's bad enough they drop their R's. So a lot of words, you're like, what? But then the vowels are so similar. And it takes quite a bit of getting used to. So I will put a link to the NewScientist.com article in the show notes, but I went over there, and they actually have wave files of these sounds. Now, this is for real. I'm not faking anything this time like I did about the first recording, but these are the actual sounds of what the reconstruction of what a Neanderthal sounded like. And this is compared to a simulation of a modern human. Okay, in both of those samples, they were making the same sound. So what I'm going to do now is I'm just going to play one immediately after the other a couple of times, just so you get a better idea of what the comparison is. Well, that gives you a rough idea anyway, I suppose, of what the difference is. Now, the comparison to New Zealand is that their E sounds often come out more like I, a short I. So, for example, in yes, it comes out more often than not as yes. And I'm going to get something will come up more like git, although it doesn't sound like that. You'd have to hear it in context. But that's really what they're getting at when they say that the Neanderthal sounded a bit like Kiwis. And when you're only looking at one vowel, it's kind of hard to judge what they really would have sounded like. I mean, they haven't even gotten into consonants. But be that as it may. Now, on Friday of next week, is April 25, and that, of course, is Anzac Day, which is a major holiday in New Zealand. It's a public holiday, but it's also probably the real national holiday for New Zealand. I talked about this last year on episode number 4, which was called Poppy Day. And essentially there's a dawn service, and then there are other commemorations throughout the day. Legally, all shops must be closed between dawn and 1 p.m., on that day, and after that they can reopen for business. But that's not really practical for most businesses, especially offices, so they usually close for the entire day. And we have no commercials on TV until 1 p.m. on Anzac Day, which is kind of nice, really. But it's the half day that I often talk about where there's a trading ban. But it is a public holiday, and Nigel is off work that day, and so I probably won't be recording on Friday. So probably next week we'll only have one episode, but hey, you never know, do you? But because Friday is a public holiday, I usually go to the part-time job on Thursdays, and they want me to come in on Wednesday next week, and that means that I may be available for the Archer Radio Group Show next week. So Archer, if you're listening, But I can't promise that either because it kind of depends on how the week unfolds. But at this stage, chances are that I won't be doing two episodes of the Amrens podcast next week. But we'll see, because you just never know. Now, because of, because of a lot of things, my irregular schedule lately and all kinds of other things, there's some things I've neglected to mention. And one of those was that one of my favorite sites, Slap Upside the Head, just recently celebrated its birthday. And I do check it out. It's slapupsidethehead.com, I believe. There's a link in my on my blog on the right-hand side under Blogs I Read. And I can't speak highly enough about it, but one of the reasons why I recommend it so highly, particularly for Americans, is that Mark goes into a lot of the internal Canadian politics that most Americans would certainly never read about. And for example, he's talked a lot about how Canada has treated gay refugees, or maybe not treated them in some cases, and the absurd requirements that they make of gay refugees that they probably wouldn't make of heterosexual refugees. I think it's interesting because there are a lot of U.S. Americans who think that Canada is some sort of a paradise, and Mark shows that, well, in some ways it is better, but there are other ways in which there might be issues that have to be dealt with. So do check it out, and of course congratulations to Mark on another birthday of Slap Upside the Head. Among the other things I haven't had a chance to talk about lately has been iTunes. But the original thing I wanted to do was to mention the iTunes reviews that I'd gotten and thank the authors, and I'll do that in a minute. But there's a larger issue here. There's been some controversies lately on other podcasts about the reviews that they've gotten, blah, 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 blah. I'm not going to get into that. The thing is, the most podcasters that I know, a good number of them anyway, will ask for iTunes reviews, preferably five-star reviews, because those are the ones that matter. And there's a couple of reasons for that, why podcasters ask for that. The first is that it affects your rankings on iTunes. And to be on a featured page in your category, like personal journals, for instance, if you have reviews and new reviews, it helps you be on that page. And also having new subscribers also helps that as well. But it seems that the featured page has more to do with reviews. Now, the overall rankings seem to have more to do with subscribers, especially new subscribers. But Apple doesn't say how it comes up with these rankings, and it all is, it's a bit of a mystery. There's apparently some sort of algorithms that they use. Who knows? I don't even know if that's true. But the thing is that I've been on the featured page of the personal journals section of iTunes Store, iTunes USA, since January. I think it's January or February. Anyway, for a few months now. And I am almost never in the top 100 podcasts, personal journals podcasts, almost never. The other day, I got a couple more reviews, which shot me up to 30 reviews, and I went from 28 to 30 in one day, and all of a sudden, I was at number 15 on the top 100 personal journal podcasts that day, ranked well ahead of Archer and a lot of other more well-established podcasts, and ones that certainly have higher downloads than I do. So iTunes really doesn't mean anything. There is no way at present to verify the popularity of a podcast. Individual podcasters, of course, can look at their own download statistics, and that tells them how many people are downloading their podcast and gives them a rough idea of what their listenership is. It's not perfect because, like a magazine or a book or a newspaper, that same episode could be listened to by several different people, say in the same household or shared with friends or what have you. So we don't have anything like a ratings system that gives any kind of verifiable, realistic way of telling what podcasts are popular and what ones aren't. So a lot of podcasters fall back on iTunes because it's visible, everybody knows iTunes, and it's something that's relatively easy, and also listeners can take part by leaving reviews or by going to the reviews that are there, and then that little thing that says, was this review helpful, clicking yes for five-star reviews, or no for one-star reviews. So a lot of that is what's going behind the obsession with iTunes reviews. But in the overall scheme of things, they don't really matter. Because they're not verifiable, because nobody knows how these things come about, and because it's A lot of people try to sort of game the system. They leave five-star reviews. Quite frankly, whether the podcast or CD even or whatever really deserves it or not. And the opposite, they'll leave a one-star review when the podcast or CD or whatever also doesn't deserve that. So no podcaster really wants anything less than a five-star review because it affects their rankings. And almost nobody treats the review process as any kind of honest assessment of a podcast, of a song, perhaps of TV shows, because we don't have TV in iTunes New Zealand, so I don't know. Most of what goes on there is essentially fan mail in some ways. And that's not to denigrate it in any way, because that's perfectly valid, in my opinion. But my point is that they're not reviews in as that term is usually understood. It's not a critical assessment in that way. And there are some podcasts out there who get tens of thousands of downloads and have almost no reviews, whereas there are other podcasts who have hundreds of reviews and maybe only have a couple hundred downloads. So the number of reviews and the popularity of a podcast aren't necessarily directly related in any way. So the obsession with iTunes reviews is a bit over the top. And it's why I don't talk about it quite so much anymore. I made it to the featured page in the Personal Journal's featured page on iTunes Store USA, and that made me happy. I won't deny that. And when I made the same page in the New Zealand store, that made me happier still. And I mean, I would love to stay there. I don't think I will. I think that it's probably only a matter of time before I drop off there entirely. But I have enjoyed being there. It makes you feel good. And it also makes me feel good, the wonderful things that people say in their five-star reviews in iTunes. Most podcasters get very little feedback, and that's certainly true in the personal journals category, because typically personal journal podcasts don't have that many listeners. It's a very small niche market kind of thing. And that's fine. There's certainly nothing wrong with that, because the whole point of this new media is to have a variety of voices sharing what they have to say with a variety of audiences. And I mean voices in the broadest sense, not necessarily literally. So the fact that any given podcast maybe only has a couple hundred listeners or a couple thousand listeners even is really irrelevant. What matters is that the person producing the content, whether it's a podcast, a blog, what have you, video, what have you, that the person producing it has something that they want to say, that they want to share, and that there are people who get something from it. And that's really what it's all about. However, because hardly anybody ever provides feedback, the only way that we podcasters have of gauging whether or not we're connecting with our audiences is through the five-star reviews on iTunes, or comments left on blogs, or emails, or voicemail messages. And so that's kind of why we lean on those so heavily. Because, I mean, everybody wants to hear that they're doing a good job. I'm certainly not any different in that respect. I want people to tell me, oh, you're doing good. I mean, I can certainly take it if somebody tells me I'm doing a bad job. But like anybody else, I want a pat on the back every now and again. I won't lie about that, I do. And that's why I like the five-star reviews. So I guess what I'm really trying to say is that the whole iTunes review thing has gotten a bit out of hand. And I think that some podcasters are getting a little bit too focused on them. I mean, I will from time to time acknowledge the number of reviews I've got and thank the people who've left the reviews, but I'm not going to keep beating you up and saying, leave me a five-star review, because as much as I love it when you do that, I'm not going to get all bent out of shape about it one way or another. But having said that, I do want to acknowledge people who've left recent reviews. I think I mentioned Big Fatty and David in Denver before, but since then, I've had four more reviews left by Trillion25, Blueboy137, Live It Up, and Big Dumb Donkey Girl. So thank you, all of you, for your reviews. I sincerely do appreciate it. It means a great deal to me, and I am very glad that you have left those reviews for me. It does mean a lot. But now, moving more towards the comment section, there are a few things that I've missed. I missed acknowledging a congratulatory email from Patrick for my anniversary. So thank you, Patrick. I meant to to acknowledge you on the podcast before, and I forgot. I'm sorry. And since then, I've gotten an email from Dennis in Seattle, who is in the process of moving to New Zealand, and Anne in Christchurch, who has already moved here. So welcome, listeners. It's always good for me to make connections with other podcasters, but especially I'm making connections with expat Americans here in New Zealand. Because until I started the blog and the podcast, I had never met another American living in New Zealand, ever. Apart from the odd store clerk here and there, I'd certainly never had the opportunity to get to know any other Americans living in New Zealand. And through the blog and the podcast, I've had that opportunity. So for me, it's been a really good experience. I've even met a few of them in real life, and it's even better. And so far, I've had a few on my podcast, and I hope to have more in the future. Which actually reminds me, if any of you out there have ever wanted to be on a podcast, I'm talking about non-podcasters right now, if you've ever wanted to be on a podcast, drop me a line. We can work something out. Because everybody has a story to tell. Everybody has something to say, whether you think you do or not is beside the point. And let's look into it. I'm especially keen on hearing from other expats, wherever you are, wherever you're from, but not exclusively. And of course, I'm also really quite keen to record with other podcasters. And related to that, I've been talking with a couple of other podcasters recently about things we can do to sort of promote each other's podcasts a bit more than just talking about each other. And the most obvious thing is to be on each other's podcasts. And part of that you've just seen when Tim Carmel was on my podcast and I was on his. Actually, it's the other way around. But anyway. So we're looking at maybe playing some promos on each other's podcasts or what have you. Because the thing is that most of our new listeners come from other listeners. It's very difficult to reach people who don't already listen to podcasts. And our best source of new listeners is among people who already listen to podcasts. And we have, you've no doubt noticed if you've listened to this podcast for any length of time, there's certain names that keep coming up again and again and again. And they're people who I interact with and who interact with me. And we've built a rapport with each other. And so we thought, well, let's just see what happens if we do a little promotion. Now, in my case, because I don't have a segmented podcast, I can't play them like commercials. But what I'm likely to do is play the odd promo just before I go to comments. Now, that's not starting now, so don't panic. Don't go for the fast-forward button. But it is something that's going to come up in the future. I'll give you plenty of warning before I do it. But we just kind of want to see how it works and what you think about it. And we'll see how it goes. But in the meantime, I would expect that you will start seeing the people that I've mentioned being on this podcast. You'll see me on their podcasts, and we'll all just sort of move ourselves around a bit. Kind of like a moving conversation or whatever. I don't know what to call it. But that's kind of what's going on behind the scenes. I just wanted to share that with you now. But I am going to go over to the comments, and I just have to make a click. Okay, and this is for the episode 84 with Tim Carmel. And Archer said, "Another great show from Tim. I love that you played a voicemail to Tim on your show." And I said, "Yeah, I thought playing the voicemail was a fun twist." And as you might remember, it was actually a voicemail for Tim that I played on my podcast. And because we also had split the episode up, so it just seemed kind of like a fun thing to do. And next up was Tim Carmel himself, who said, "It was great being on the show. Thanks again, Arthur. I thought it came out great. And you actually got me to talk politics, which I almost never do. You can chalk that up as an event in history." And I said, "Thanks, Tim. It was a lot of fun. I don't know why you don't talk politics more. You have a lot of interesting and informed things to say." And those two don't necessarily go together, let's be honest here. A lot of people will say things that may be interesting, but they don't know what they're talking about. And other people may know what they're talking about, but they're not very interesting. Well, fortunately, Tim is both. And I think he should talk about politics more. I think most people should talk about politics more, because the more we talk about things, the more likely we are to come to some sort of societal understandings and things. But thanks again for being on the podcast, Tim. You know, a lot of people do call him the nicest guy and one of the nicest podcasters, and he really is. He's a lovely guy. He's been very helpful to me over the years. Year, I should say. So, his podcast, his personal journal podcast is called There's Some Who Call Me Tim, and he's also the host of Go Rainbow Radio. Right, and now I have a voicemail.
Hi, Arthur. This is Tom from the Realm of Redhead Show. Just want to leave you a quick message to let you know that I've been listening to, the latest shows. I'm caught up with the Jake's show, the Normal Day show, and then also part two of the show that you did with Tim, and I've been catching up on Tim's show as well, so it's been really good, and I really think it was a great show between the two of you, and I would love to get on your program at some point, so I think that'd be a little fun. And again, I wanted to call to, I want to get Nigel on my program. So I really enjoy your show, and you're so great, so funny, and I love your views on the politics. I can't agree with you both. I'm getting tired of it already, and how they're always backstabbing one another, and it's not even just the beginning of the badness until the election. But anyway, I just want to give you a call, and thank you very much for everything, and take care. Bye.
Well, thanks for that, Tom. And actually, now that Tom has left that message, I get to keep my phone number for another 30 days. Because as you may know, the rule with this free listener line thing is that somebody has to leave a message at least once every 30 days or you lose the number. But now that Tom has done it, it means I don't have to call my own listener line to keep it active. So thank you for that, Tom. I very much appreciate that. But last thing today is a couple of episodes back, I played a PodSafe music artist as the outro. And I decided I'm going to do that from time to time. Usually somebody who's got some sort of tangential connection to me, maybe it'll only be that I like the song, I don't know. But just as something a little bit different, and I'll only play them at the end of the episode, and there won't be anything after that, so if you don't like the song, you can feel free to stop it. But today's artist is Monique Rhodes, who is a Kiwi, and she lives at least part of the time in France, apparently. And her debut album is called Awakening, and this song is called Bearing Witness from that debut album. You can find her at the PodSafe Music Network, which is music.podshow.com. And, of course, she has her own blog, or her own site, at moniquerhodes.com. I'll put links to all of that in the show notes, of course. But I think this is a lovely song, and I would encourage you to listen to it all the way through. But that is it for today. Do leave a comment on my blog, amrins.com, or you can send an email to me at Arthur, A-R-T-H-U-R, at amrins.com. And, of course, you can be like Tom the Ramble Redhead and leave a phone message on my U.S. listener line, which is 206-339-8413. But that's it for today, everybody. I'll be back again next week with more. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Across the great divide I come to bring you my truth. From a world that you seem so